Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mecca for peace in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Long Box Guys. My name is Tom, and with me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. LT, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I'm drinking some Dimple Pinches scotch tonight. How are you doing, Tommy? What are you drinking?
I'm doing great. I got a big old glass of Thompson's Water Seal scotch. Thompson's Water Seal with $10 is all you got. Mikey, how are you doing? And what you drinking?
I am still recovering from my nasal infection, so I'm drinking a Virgin Larfleeze.
A Virgin Larfleeze. Very delicious. It's like, I remember I used to run a restaurant, and some guy would always ask me for a virgin screwdriver. I'm like, okay, jackass. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing good. I'm drinking a nice light pale ale called Eureka from our friends at Treehouse.
Uretha. I thought it was
good. Urethra. You made it.
It sounds like it's an underrated beer. Speaking of underrated... This week, everyone in the Long Box Guy is going to argue a little bit about what they think is kind of an underrated villain. There are some really great villains out there that have been reintroduced in different ways who have vindicated themselves. I remember I always thought Kraven the Hunter wasn't like the coolest or best villain, and then Kraven's Last Hunt like really won me over. That was he was a cool killer monster character. The War of Riddles and Jokes really brought Kite Man into the forefront. Maybe not as a powerhouse, but at least as a very interesting character. So this week we're going to talk about four supervillains we think are underrated in some way or another. Who wants to start out?
I would like to go with the Crimson Dynamo, an Iron Man villain, because I love Iron Man. And I think the original Crimson Dynamo was fantastic. Anton Vanko... He created his own armor. He was kind of parallel to Tony Stark, and he used to take on Tony Stark. In the original storyline, he came over and defected to America, was then brought back to Russia. He also was responsible for the unicorns, horrible, horrible origin. But I thought the original Crimson Dynamo was a great character, and I think he deserves the retcon and should be retconned and brought back. I know there's been other reiterations of the Crimson Dynamo, but I thought he had one of the best origins. He made his own armor. Yeah. Yes, Tom.
This isn't like the same as the goat rule, so we don't have to like try to vote. So instead of crapping on you, I just want to say I think you're right. Crimson Dynamo is a terrific character, and I always thought he was a little underrated. Being the Russian version of Iron Man, there was a lot on his shoulders. I love – what was the name of the – someone's going to remember this. What was the name of the Russian superhero group with Ursa Major, Crimson Dynamo, and Hammer and Sickle?
Yeah, I don't remember.
That was a terrific team,
though. Was it like the hand or something? It was something. It wasn't the hand, though, but it was...
Something winter, like Crimson Winter or something crazy like that. I'll look it up when someone else is arguing on theirs. But that was a great team. The Crimson Dynamo, Ursula Major, Hammer and Sickle, they really captured my attention. I thought they were a lot of fun. And, Crimson Dynamo, absolutely 100% worthy of a retcon, or at least a comic book where he comes into his own. Maybe not a retcon. Doesn't really need it. He had a great origin story. Maybe just a comic book where, he's vindicated as the powerhouse that he is. Who's next?
I think he would be a great villain to bring back in Iron Man because he could be an oligarch over in Russia right now, and they could do the whole storyline with selling, you know, he's selling weapons to rogue nations, etc. And they could go that route. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I agree. That's a good call. I'm going to go with a supervillain you might not have ever heard of. It's because this supervillain actually succeeded in his mission. I know Josh hates when a nemesis of a hero has the exact same power set. But hear me out.
Okay.
Dwarf Star. Created by Gail Simone in 2006, he was meant to be the nemesis for the all-new Atom, Ryan Choi. So in the storyline, he is a college predator at Ivy University, and he gets given his powers, and he, by Kronos and Lady Kronos, to fight the new Atom, and he's not good at it. He has he gets his ass kicked by the Atom, and he realizes, hey, I gotta change up my game plan. I gotta think a little outside the box. You know who's a lot tougher than me? Deathstroke. He hires Deathstroke to kill the Atom and deliver him his body. And Deathstroke does it. After he kills the Atom, he delivers the body to Death Star. Death Star is really happy about it. Unfortunately, he did not count on the fact that Ray Palmer, the original Atom, was going to find out that he was behind the murder. And things do not go well for Dwarf Star after that. But I am going to give him credit. He succeeded in taking out his nemesis, even though he had to hire somebody to do it.
Isn't that kind of what Hench is all about? Mixing things up?
Kind of.
Hiring somebody else?
This is 2006, before Hench was created in the Marvel Universe.
He's just laying the foundation
exactly.
for what would later become Hench in the Marvel Universe.
He doesn't have many appearances. He doesn't deserve many appearances. He's...
Well, so, you do have to give him credit. I mean, he succeeded. I mean,
yeah.
But do you want him to come back and have his own storyline? I mean, do you think he's worthy of that?
He is worthy of coming back. I wouldn't make him, how can I phrase this, as rapey as he has been in his original iteration. But he has not made an appearance in the since Flashpoint. He could totally come back. Also, I haven't been watching The Flash. Apparently, he's made his small screen debut on The Flash. So I guess he's in Arrowverse continuity, although I haven't seen the episode.
Yeah, there's a few episodes. I'm more picking and choosing on the Arrow universe. By the way, the name of the super soldier group that he was in was called the Soviet Super Soldiers. And it was the only ones I missed were Titanium Man and Vanguard and Darkstar. So we had all those people in there, and they were really fun to watch. And they had their own one-shot comic book, which I did not know. Now I'm going to have to try to find it because I like those guys.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you got?
Bidding begin.
I am going to go with Callisto.
Ah.
Now, one of the things I really like about Callisto that I think probably not a lot of casual readers know is how closely her storyline matches Greek mythology. So Callisto, Zeus falls in love with Callisto and essentially seduces her posed as Artemis, her leader. Later, Zeus's wife is so pissed that she's done this that she curses Callisto into a ugly creature. Apparently, they thought bears were ugly, so she becomes a bear. And after she becomes a bear, she becomes very protective of all the people she was ever meant to guard. So, in her ugliness, she becomes, ironically linked to Tom's earlier comment, Ursa Major. So, if you look, if the constellation is named after Callista, Ursa Major, she becomes the mother bear. So, she becomes very protective of the ugly, the unwashed, everything. So, this is sort of Callista's storyline. You never really find out in the beginning. I don't know if they ever told the story of why she got her scars. She basically just tells people – This is what happens when you trust humanity. Once deceived, scarred, and becomes a protector of the unprotected. I think it's interesting that Callisto follows Callisto, even though a lot of people just thought it was a cool name.
Quick question. What is her powers?
She used to be just slightly heightened reflexes, slightly heightened strength, and she had super like hearing, vision, sense of smell. But that most of that, I mean, over the course of time and comic continuity, she has both lost and regained her powers multiple times. Honestly, now I have no idea if she is powered or unpowered at this time.
I always had a sneaky suspicion she had no mutant power, because we never really see her manifest it all that much. I mean, it's, she uses a wrist rocket slingshot to take down Storm once. I mean, I could do that, I suppose.
She loves her knives.
So she just made a recent appearance in the Uncanny X-Men, where they were Wolverine is chasing somebody out of the bar. And when they get out into the alleyway, they find that Wolverine is lying on the ground with a knife sticking out of his eye. There, Callisto's there, and she was trying to kill the person, and Wolverine got in her way, and she's like, "You got blood all over my knife," and pulls it out of his eye, and he's like, "Yeah, that fucking hurt." But yes, she is still making appearances in the Uncanny X-Men. She's no longer the leader of the Morlocks, but she is definitely still protecting the Morlocks.
Well, I'll have to circle back and pick that up. I'm just reading behind. I'm only like issue 2 in Uncanny.
Okay, yeah, that's around issue 16.
Okay.
Or 17, somewhere around there.
But yeah, I always liked the character. She always presented well. They always treated her with good storylines and good writing. And they just had hoped she would be a little more involved. But so, yeah, just underrated, I think. Good villain.
Good villain, underrated. That's going to take me to my next one, which is me. And I actually was...
You're underrated villain?
Oh, yeah. I haven't killed anyone yet, but I... No, no, my underrated villain, the one that I chose, I was thinking about it over the weekend. I pretty much had this villain already pinpointed as the one I wanted to go. And lo and behold, a friend of the podcast, Kevin Gravot, did a post about the very supervillains I was talking about, saying he always thought they were underrated too. So if you guys go back to Facebook on Saturday, Kevin Gravot puts a whole thing about the Wrecking Crew on his page and how they are underrated. Hear me out. They have taken out the Avengers before. They have single-handedly taken out the Hulk. As a matter of fact, the Wrecker is on... it's on record that the record one-shotted the Hulk once. I found the and I have the panel to back it up. It was a cheap shot. It was a lucky shot, but he one-shotted the Hulk. So the record was a bad mamma jamma. Given a magical crowbar from, I forget who gave you that crowbar. Maybe Loki. I think it was Loki, to be a nemesis and a foil for Thor, and later, he gets an entire crew to start helping him, which includes other kind of famous, machines that you might find at a job site. Bulldozer, Pile Driver, and Thunderball. I like Thunderball. He had the big ball and chain thing. And he could also create electricity through the stupid thing. These were really, really fun to watch, and they were super, super powerful. The problem with the Wrecking Crew, though, was that the Wrecker gave some of his powers to the rest of the crew. So he was no longer the super powerhouse that can one-shot the Hulk or take out Thor, or at least toe-to-toe Thor. Now it had to kind of be the entire group.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, certainly underrated. They're definitely coming underrated. Are they a theme I really want to see in comics? I don't know. I don't know if they make it that far, but you are right from a power perspective, and nobody has ever really used them in I think like major storylines. They could certainly be revamped or rethrown out there and become a reasonable team.
I don't know, the Masters of Evil, when they attacked Avengers headquarters and they put Hercules in a coma It was the Wrecking Crew and Mr. Hyde, right? Mm-hmm. They laid waste to the Avengers in that storyline. So I think the Wrecking Crew has occasionally got its due, but I agree. They're kind of viewed right now without the respect that they deserve. These are guys who are designed to be at Thor strength level, yet they seem to be the butt of a lot of jokes.
And individually, I think
the problem was I once saw Spider-Man take them out, and that kind of makes them underpowered in my mind.
Individually, the characters in the Wrecking Crew tend to get taken out pretty easily by the superheroes, whereas I think they're a lot more formidable once they're together in the Wrecking Crew.
Also, it just reminds me too much of the Transformer, who is made up of construction vehicles and is all yellow. Every time they say that, that's really all I think about. I don't remember what his name was. Anyone? Anyone?
Constructobot?
Could have been. I mean, might as well have been.
Yeah.
Hey, fun Alex fact for the Wrecking Crew. I never realized there was a fifth member of the Wrecking Crew called the Excavator.
The Excavator with a magic shovel. How cool is that?
The Shoveler? That's who it was?
I was going to say, didn't he join the Mystery Men?
He only had like a one-shot deal, but...
Yeah.
Teenage son of the original Pile Driver. Appears in Runaways, Volume 2, Issue Number 1. I own it. I have not read it. I feel remiss. I feel remiss. I've read the first Runaway series. I haven't read the second Runaway series yet. Now I have to.
The Runaway series?
What?
Have you watched the Runaways series?
I've seen the first season. I haven't seen the second season yet. Took a long time to fucking run away. That's all I gotta say.
Do you intend to watch the second season?
If the fucking excavator's in it, I do.
Okay, fair enough. I was wondering what your where the billet's at on that one.
Mike, can I borrow that comic book? I really want to see the excavator now.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Does anyone have any runners up? Not really.
No, I wanted to go outside the box, try to get a villain that maybe they had the listeners hadn't heard us talk about before. We do the whole panel at different Comic Cons on stupid supervillains and why we love them. I was trying to avoid somebody who was just stupid and go with somebody who. And I think we all did. People who we respect as supervillains, and we think they deserve better than they've gotten, right? Now, Dwarf Star deserved what he got.
We could have a fun time arguing that the Hypno Hustler would be fun to have him have a rebound. But, I mean, I really don't care to see that all that much. It would just be a gimmick. But legitimately, I think everyone we talked about could probably use – you know, could actually be in a very thoughtful, fun storyline.
Yeah.
Give Callisto her own book.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Well, I guess that brings us to the front of the long box there. Mikey, what do you got?
At the front of the long box, I have the X-Men. And not only has Rosenberg's Uncanny X-Men been phenomenal, but coming in just a little over a month is going to be Jonathan Hickman. They are canceling all the X titles, and they are giving the X-Men to Hickman. I have ranted and raved about Jonathan Hickman's run on both the Fantastic Four and the Avengers leading into Secret Wars, and he's going to do it again. Take my word on it. Go ahead and go out to your comic book stores and tell them, put Hickman's X-Men into my pull list. The X-Men are about to become relevant in Marvel Comics again. Trust me.
Wow. All right.
I just wish that they didn't cancel all the titles and start with number one again. Because it's going to start with number one, isn't it?
Of course, there are going to be two series that Hickman's going to write to start with. It's going to be The House of X and The Powers of X. And then I believe after that, he's got control of the whole X universe, and he is going to be writing Uncanny X-Men. Hopefully they'll start back with the legacy number, but who knows? Marvel. Probably.
All right.
Marvel.
I like that.
Probably not.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Tommy, what do you got at the old bag of the long box?
I'm not going back that far. I'm going back just 6 years. I'm going to go back to DC's Blackest Night, the massive DC crossover event where the Black Lanterns start invading the universe. All of the dead start coming alive again, being brought back by black rings, and all of the different light spectrum, green, yellow, star sapphire, blue lanterns have to fight to prevent the Black Lanterns from taking over everything and killing off everyone in the universe. And it was a fantastic read. And the whole mythology of how the Guardians of Oa haven't really been protecting everything, haven't really been telling the whole story for all of these years, and how the whole mythology between the Green Lanterns has been incomplete. Jeff Johns kind of did a fantastic job with this storyline. And Mike was shaking his head when I started talking about the Blackest Night. And I think this was a great event that I recommend to everyone.
Yeah, typically I don't like these massive crossovers, but the way they did it was really well done because they didn't break up the ongoing storylines in the comics. They had specials, just Blackest Night Batman 1 through 3, Blackest Night Titans 1 through 3. So it didn't interrupt your normal flow of the series as it was going forward. But what they also did is they took a bunch of comic book series that had been canceled, gave them one more issue, and it focused in on the Blackest Nights where some of the people from those storylines had died and came back. It was really well done.
Yeah. I mean, they brought back all sorts of heroes. They brought back the Elongated Man, his wife. They brought back all sorts of different heroes, and how those dead heroes interacted with the live heroes trying to pull on their heartstrings and kill them and to get them to join the dark lanterns, the Black Lanterns. It was a great series.
And when Lex Luthor got that orange ring.
Oh, God, that was fantastic.
And Scarecrow got a yellow ring, and Flash got a – he was Hope.
He was so blue.
That's blue, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was great. All of a sudden, all these heroes, their power level just jumps exponentially. In order to fight off these bad guys. It was a great series. I agree with you. Have you guys read it?
I have not.
So, yeah, you guys have DC Universe, so check out a lot of it is on DC Universe. It's a little hard to kind of track down and kind of meet out the linear fashion of how to read it on the DC Universe, but it's pretty much all there. So,
yeah, I do have to say the DC Universe app
It's pretty terrible. Crappy.
I mean, yeah. They have not put a lot of thought, time, or effort into that. I really hope that they have some serious, serious updates and revisions in the very near future.
Yeah, I wish that they would put the trade versions of things on there as well, so that you didn't have to read just the individual issues.
Yeah, and about 80% of the time, it doesn't remember where I was.
Yeah. And it crashes so quickly.
Yeah, yeah, that sucks.
It crashes so often, so yeah. Frequently. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't make lists in it. It doesn't remember where I am. It drives me nuts. That app drives me nuts.
But it's better than nothing.
That's a little bit of a...
And it might go away depending upon what happens with you know, their parent companies.
I hope it doesn't go away because I've stopped collecting back issues. I'm like, well, fuck it. I don't need to get these back issues.
Yeah, DC's all right there. That was a little bit of a tangent, though, Josh. Do you got a real tangent for us this week?
I do. So this past weekend, Tom and I went to a LARP event. It was my very first one. We went into what was called a dungeon, a.k.a. an escape room, a non-combat scenario. There were supposed to be five of us, but Tom and I ventured forth alone together. You can't see the consternation on my face when I said that, but whatever. So we went in undermanned, and I had some pretty – I haven't been a big escape room fan so far. I've done maybe five or six. And so I had pretty low expectations, but the one we did was very well done. So, tangent, something you had really low expectations for that turned out much better than you thought. What do you got?
Hand jobs.
Like every single one? Do you have low expectations every time you get one? And it's always better than you think?
Oh, the first time I got one. Okay. Oh, I see where you're going with this. That's not bad.
Wouldn't you have been the one giving yourself the hand job the first time?
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, wait, what are you doing? Stop touching me there. Whoa, all right.
All right. I see where
we're going with this, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, I was going to go with this podcast, but instead I'm going to go with Detective Pikachu. I know. I've talked about it before. I fucking love Detective Pikachu. It's Deadpool for kids, for God's sakes. And our buddies over at Losing Lives Podcast just did a whole episode on Detective Pikachu, so I can get my Pikachu fix over there.
Maybe I'll go see it next weekend.
You should. Otherwise, you're dead inside.
A little bit.
I'll tell you what you got.
I'm going to go with the Iron Man movie because I had really low expectations because a lot of superhero movies were not good up until that point, and it was a near-perfect movie. It was fantastic.
That really was a near-perfect movie. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, the first Iron Man was excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's the most underrated of the Marvel series. A lot of people forget about it. It got buried so deep in everything that when people list, I think, go ahead and list their favorites, I don't see Iron Man on that list, the first Iron Man.
Really? That's my number five.
So it was...
See, it's I waited 20, 30 years for it. So, I mean, it was always my favorite.
Good to know.
Even though, you know.
Yeah, it's way up there for me, too.
Even though Thor Ragnarok is like something that like I can put on in the background to do anything because it's got so many great one-liners that like, you know, you can like be folding laundry and just listening to it and find it like hilarious and entertaining.
Yeah, I think Guardians, Ragnarok, and The Fifth Element sort of all fall into that same category for me where I'm like, I can put that on.
You can put that on anytime.
Yeah, I can just look over my shoulder and be like, oh, yeah, I know the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tom, you got anything this week?
Nope. Nothing this week. It's been a pretty slow week for social justice. I blame Trump.
It's an easy call.
That's an easy call. Just remember, don't forget to support the causes you really are passionate about, and don't forget to go out there and do a little something. No matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, you know, the Long Box guys are always thinking about, you know, being at least helpful. You know, there was a couple instances over the weekend where I acted as medic at our LARP. I was just helpful. I was happy to be able to be a bit of a help. Just remember to keep doing that, because love does beat hate. Right, guys?
Yeah, fuck you.
Yes.
I mean, yes.
Ish.
Yeah. Fine.
Whatever.
Maybe.
I mean, yes.
Perhaps. Yeah. Occasionally.
Love beats hate. Shut up.
It does, mostly with a baseball bat.
All right. Creepy Joe in 2020. And that's going to do it for us, except for plugs. Mikey, anything good to plug?
Well, yeah, I already mentioned our friends over at Losing Lives. You can go to whosnextgaming.com in order to see all the links to their different videos and podcasts. We also have Kirby Crackle, who provides our geek rock music every week. You can go to kirbycracklemusic.com to check them out. And, of course, our friends over at the Nola Nerd Couple, their Easter photos of the Nola Nerd baby were adorable.
Ooh. And Josh, don't you have something coming up in Tennessee?
I have two things coming up. I have Epic Nerd Camp coming up June 28th to July 2nd, and then the Con of Thrones in Nashville, Tennessee, the weekend of July 12th, both of which I'll be teaching sword classes at.
Ooh, I just want to plug my upcoming marathon and half marathon in Alaska. I'm not doing both. My wife is doing the marathon. I'm doing the half. We're going to be in Alaska. Someplace famous in Alaska. I can't remember where.
I'm going to once again plug the Lane Auto Museum in Nashville, Tennessee. It is one of the most fantastic auto museums in the country, specializing in one-off automobiles and historically significant automobiles, and just has some fantastic cars in it. And I would like to plug our good friends at geekorthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com.
Hi, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com, purveyors of fine t-shirts and other geeky things.
Follow those guys on Facebook and check out the enormous Star Trek stained glass window they did for somebody. It is amazeballs.
Do we know who they did it for? Have they been able to say yet?
I honestly don't know. It's big, though. Wow, it's big.
It's big. This was not a inexpensive piece.
I would also like to plug the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They just released the 25th anniversary of Soul Asylum's Runaway Train. 25 years ago, they teamed up with Soul Asylum. They did they released a video of Runaway Train, and it to help find missing children. They just redid this on the anniversary. They got a number of artists who came in, and they have a whole new group of children who have gone missing. So if you get a chance, go check out the video and go ahead and share it on your social media just to get word out there. I don't have to explain to anybody how bad it is for missing children, but they estimate at least 1 in 7 of them are being trafficked right now by sexual predators. So it's an important video, and I think everybody should go just take a look at it, because you never know. Maybe you might see this kid. Rescue him. Say something to somebody.
Fuck yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Great point. Let's also point out our Twitter page, which is The Long Box Guys at Twitter, and also our Patreon page. For just $1 a month, you can be a Patreon subscriber and get an extra podcast every single week. This week we argued about gimmick comic books. You know the kind, like when Kiss put their blood in a comic book, or some of the crazy foil comic books or metal comic book covers that were out there. Mikey argues a really, really cool one that I had no idea about, so I learned a lot on this particular podcast this week. So go to Patreon /or/ The Long Box Guys. Check out our Patreon page and maybe become a member. We'd really appreciate it.
And next week, if you would like to follow along with us, we're going to be covering one of the best Batman series of all time, Hush. We're going to be doing a whole podcast on it. So if you haven't read it yet, go ahead and check it out if you get a chance.
I'm almost done. You guys have been recommending that comic book to me for a while now, and I got to say, I'm not disappointed. Your recommendation's right on. This is a great, fun comic book. And that'll do it for us. Mikey. Mikey, sweet Mikey. What is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Tommy, got any last words for us?
This may not be the podcast you desire, but it's definitely the podcast you deserve.
Josh, did you pull any ticks off yourself over this weekend?
No. Light was green. Trap was clean.
Pulled two ticks off me.
But the fourth of Charlton, Mass. More. Was my sector.
That's what I was going to ask. All right. Damn it. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love. You live longer. So long from the Long Box, guys.
Eileen is too big a Star Wars fan. She'd be making you actually assemble the armor and wear it to fuck her. Oh, I will send it to you now, LT. Somebody will fucking assemble it.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is for Josh.
Whoa, 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 what?
It's him swear. The first 45 minutes is him swearing.
LT dedicates his sex every time.
And about to fuck your wife and you yell, "This is for Josh?" I don't know what level of kink you've gone to, man, but you got to rein that shit in.
It's a compliment,
dude. I would lose it right there. I'm like, glug. That's right. My dick goes glug, glug.
This is for Josh. What?